the good liars.
The good liars?
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, yeah. I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, God. Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to The Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are The Good Liars.
And we may be The Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, DeVrom, it's the most wonderful time.
Christmas time, that's right.
CPAC time, which is actually not the most wonderful time of year. It's the worst time
sometimes
of year.
It's the most depressing time of year.
Yeah.
It's the worst time of the year, and it's the time of the year that makes you think about how not great things are.
That was certainly our experience with this CPAC. I think it was our fourth one, and I'm going to say worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Okay. Fair. But we want to remind everybody, you can get a whole nother episode.
An entire nother episode.
If you support us on herohero.co/thegoodliars. And this week, we're going to be talking about the Trump gold card, not a green card, a gold card, and how it relates to oligarchs and, of course, Hulk Hogan.
Brother, let me tell you something, brother.
I cannot wait. Some of this is going to be a surprise to me. But I can't wait to talk gold cards. If you're rich,
it's great.
You can be an American.
You can buy it. Yeah, it's great. All right, but let's get into the dystopian nightmare that is CPAC 2025. And if there's one video, one moment that kind of, you okay?
Yeah, just thinking about CPAC, thinking about being there.
Ted Cruz was there, you know. Ted Cruz.
He was there.
I was just trying to get you to do a puke thing.
I mean, I'm just wondering if that's why I felt the way I did there feeling that way.
I actually don't know if he was there. I assume he was. So if there was one moment that was the moment of CPAC 2025, it was probably this moment of Elon Musk getting on stage with a chainsaw.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy. Chainsaw!
A shriek much like that destroyed Howard Dean's campaign. So, but I have a feeling Elon's going to be fine.
What, because of his almost $400
billion? $400
billion
is inexplicable embrace by a lot of people that he's screwing over.
So you saw that video, DeVrom. Obviously, we both posted it. Both were saying similar things about Idiocracy. It reminds us of Idiocracy.
Right.
It really did feel like that moment where the president in Idiocracy gets on stage. What does he have? Is it like a leaf blower or something? What does he have in his?
I don't know. Is it not
a flamethrower?
Flamethrower. Right. Doesn't he also rip his shirt off and everyone's cheering and it's the best.
But it was like, what did you think when you saw it? Because I thought Howard Dean immediately, but also like he was talking about, like, we're going to win this state and this state and this state, and then we're going to take the White House. Elon Musk was saying, I have a chainsaw and I'm cutting federal spending.
The government with it.
Yeah.
I was immediately shocked. I think I texted you a link right away. And it was just kind of like, what's going on
here?
To see that, which I think is objectively like, it's either kind of scary or you're laughing at it.
Right.
But to like love it and respect it and be excited about it.
Which people did.
Blew my mind. People did everyone we spoke to really loved it.
Yes.
Save for a couple people, but almost everyone loved that. So it just got me thinking, like, how do you see the same thing from two different sets of eyes, like, so differently?
Yeah, well, we'll get to more of that later in a much sadder way. But
good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So he was wearing sunglasses on stage. People were speculating it had something to do with ketamine, which he is he said on record he takes ketamine. Right. Like, this is not us just like slandering Elon Musk. Poor Elon.
And no, I hard feelings against ketamine. You can do what you want.
Yeah.
Hey, but
psychedelics are cool.
Yeah, but being on stage, psychedelics are cool, kids. Remember, the Good Liars told you that. Also, Elon, maybe that's one thing where we're not going to be judgmental of, but doing it in front of doing a public trip. Also, at CPAC seemed like a weird move.
Right, right. And we don't know. He was wearing sunglasses. Maybe he was just trying to like be a meme or whatever he was trying to do. But yeah. But also, like, if you're on drugs in office, going into like federal agencies and cutting things, like, should we talk about that?
Should that be a good thing?
I don't know.
We talked to someone who was like, I love that RFK Jr. and Donald Trump don't do drugs. And I was like, well, what about Elon and his ketamine? No, I have no idea what that is. So,
okay, great.
He seems to be getting away with his public trip, if that's what it was.
So we talked to some people, and this is a video of DeVram talking to a gentleman at CPAC about Elon Musk and the aforementioned dystopian hellscape that we are now living in.
Richest man on earth, running around the stage with a chainsaw, making weird, like, squealing, squeaking noises. And then, you know, he did an interview with his sunglasses on, and he was kind of, was it strange or no? Was it normal to you?
No, it was not strange. It was unique.
Yeah, because a lot of people are saying it's kind of like, kind of a dystopian hellscape right now, because you have the richest man on earth, who's now has a very important position in the government and is just awarding himself a bunch of money, firing hardworking people, and everyone's celebrating it. And he's running around on stage with a chainsaw.
We should be celebrating that because there's so much waste in the government.
So it's not a dystopian hellscape.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous, DeVram.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. So what was more ridiculous, me saying dystopian hellscape or Elon doing what he did?
Are you asking me to put myself in the shoes of the guy with the hat that you were talking to? Yeah. I think you saying it
is a little bit more ridiculous.
And like, just taking a step back here, like, I don't understand why more people aren't upset at just the facts of the situation where the richest man on earth is in there firing people.
Right.
And he obviously has made so many mistakes. Like he said, whatever, $50 million for condoms in Gaza. Like, he said all these things that are not true.
And to be clear, that was a different Gaza. It was a Gaza on Mozambique.
Oh, is that?
So he was talking about a different, some sort of.
And Trump repeated it again, like last Gaza, week. Yeah.
I have thought a lot about, like, if George Soros, for example, was worth like 50 times more, 60 times more, whatever it is, than he is.
Yeah.
And then placed in charge of government spending, and like one of the biggest faces of the administration, and just firing all these people, like the meltdown that would be happening, and the cries of like,
I think so, I really do.
Call me fucking crazy, but I think people would be upset.
Yes, I agree with you. I am a math guy. You know that about me. I'm a big math guy. Yeah. I love math.
Sometimes you'll have the receipt from our recent meal. You'll be doing equations.
I'll be doing math. Yeah. And I always want to have a chalkboard where I can work on my equations.
Jason, we're at the place to quit doing your math.
Well, yeah. I was doing some math on Elon Musk. Mm. And everybody knows that Elon Musk spent a lot of money to get Trump elected. He spent $300 million to get Trump elected. That sounds like a lot of money.
Right.
But Elon Musk is worth $384 billion. So Elon Musk spent less than 1% of his net worth to get Trump elected.
And kind of like to be president a little bit, to all the power that he has. Yes.
So he spent 0.08% of his net worth. So that means if you're a Trump supporter and your net worth is $100,000 and you decided to donate $100 to Donald Trump's campaign, you donated more of your net worth than Elon Musk did.
So if you have $100,000,
yes,
and you take $100 from that,
yes,
basically you still have $100,000, basically,
yes,
and you threw that at a presidential campaign and it won you the election, that would be the equivalent or more.
Basically, it would be that person has given more of their net worth than Elon Musk did.
That's not a lot of money, folks. That's like, I'm not going to get into my net worth here. We don't have to talk about
that. No, actually,
that's like if
we should talk about it right now.
Into I don't know. I'm going to say someone else's car because I don't really have my own car. Someone else's car and took what was in the change bucket.
Yes.
That would be maybe the same fraction.
It's like you're going out. It's like you go to like Best Buy or something and you're like, I'm going to buy these headphones. Like it's not, you're not, you think right. twice about it, but you're not like, this is going to ruin me financially. It's not yeah. a big purchase.
Well, then what's going through my head is which headphones or whatever, the cheap ones.
The cheaper yeah. ones. Right. Like the ones at the gas station. Right,
right.
Yes.
The ones at the gas station in the front there. If you were like, you know what? I think I'll buy these headphones. Maybe I become president. They do
$300 million.
They do those things on like Instagram where it's like a grain of rice. Let's say it's worth $200,000. This is what a house costs. This is what, and they go, and when they show you Elon Musk's thing of rice, it like covers an entire table. You can't even begin to count how many grains of rice there are. It's fucked up.
It's fucked up. It's billionaires fucked up. Shouldn't exist. You, right. Do you agree?
Billionaires should not exist. There's no reason. At $999,999,999
and 99 cents. Yes,
you've done it. You've created generational wealth. In fact, even if you have that much money, give some of it to us.
Yeah,
give
please,
us some money,
please. Hero.
You don't
have
to be a billionaire. Give us some money. But the point is after that point, it's like exponentially more insane. And then when you talk about $400 billion, you're just
You can't even
wrap your head around it. It's
people say like it costs, if you wanted terrible. To end world hunger, it would cost like between $30 and $50 million a year. Elon Musk could like
billion.
Sorry, yeah. So people say if you want to,
you're a math guy.
I'm a math guy. I'm not a numbers guy. I'm a math. Right. guy.
So bad with numbers, but the math is always right on.
If you wanted to end world hunger, he'd have to spend between $30 and $50 billion a year. Elon Musk could do that. And still
right.
be a multi-millionaire. Like he could still...
Million?
Billionaire.
What are you doing here?
Well, not I'm saying, is it, well, if you're trying to do it right.
Right.
You'd have to do
are
it
you ending world
years.
Hunger every year? You don't, it's not, you're not going to have to invest $50 billion every year.
Well, it's
you're
like
going to have
like
made
that.
A dent. My point is that maybe it's 50, maybe then it's 40, maybe then it's 30. Elon Musk could effectively... end world hunger, probably still be a billionaire, I would
yes,
think.
Yes.
And given that his company's going to continue growing and people say he's going to be the first trillionaire, I'd say he'd be fine.
Yes. Also, he's saying he wants to give everyone $5,000 for all these government savings, even though he's cutting all these jobs that maybe are critical to the government working and the country moving. If he wanted to, he could give everybody $3,000, every household in America, and still be a multimillionaire. Like, still have over hundreds of millions of dollars. It's just fucking wild that he's the guy.
He should really put
his
money where his mouth is and just give us the money. That's what you're saying. And you heard it here first. You heard it here from a numbers guy.
That's right.
A math guy, not a numbers guy, but I think you, good job, Jason. You broke it down.
I broke it down.
It's an unfathomable amount of wealth, and it's crazy that people with not a lot of wealth are cheering him on as like a hero.
Yes.
It's hard to wrap your head around. I mean, so what he spends on one of his children's nannies.
Well, now we're going into a space where maybe he's not actually spending money. Anyway, his kids. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that, but yeah.
Some father stuff here. That's fine. That's his business. The point is, it's too much money.
Let's change the subject here. We were talking about Elon Musk and how he's a rich asshole. And billionaires shouldn't exist. Let's talk about some other asshole stuff that Elon Musk has done.
Sure.
This is a tweet that Elon Musk sent out the other day. Consistent with Donald Trump's instructions, all federal employees will shortly receive an email requesting to understand what they got done last week. Failure to respond will be taken as a resignation.
Wow.
The richest man on earth.
Right.
The richest man on earth. So he's sending this out, and there's been so much confusion from people who work in the government. Like, do you actually have to respond?
Right.
Trump has said both things about it. He's like, you might get fired.
It sounds like you could get fired.
Sounds like,
you
know, yeah,
you
kind of get fired.
I believe Trump said you could get fired or semi-fired if you don't respond. So not sure what that means.
So he's just asking. He's asking people to say five things they did
right.
that day. And I thought it would kind of be fun and maybe helpful to people out there to give them an email that they can write to Elon Musk if they're a government worker. You can use like this email.
An email because they're busy. They're probably doing real work.
Real work. Right. Yes, exactly.
So now they have an email that they can just use.
Yes. That's smart. Okay. So this is an email to anybody working in the government who doesn't have time to write an email to Elon Musk. We wrote this for you. So you're welcome. Dearest Elon, here are five things I did today. Number one, I stopped doing important government work to write an email because the richest man on earth said I would be fired if I didn't. Number two, I wondered how much money Elon Musk made in the last minute. Number three, looked it up, and Elon Musk makes $37,879 per minute. Number four, realized that in the 3 minutes it took me to write you this email, you made my entire annual income. Number five, I fantasized about a French Revolution-style uprising where the common man take down the entitled billionaire elites who bully and fire hardworking people for their own amusement. Hope this helps. Sincerely, government employee. So there you go. Feel free to copy and paste that. We'll put that up.
That's
online.
So great. It's nice. It's so easy, you know, because these people presumably are busy. They're justifying their jobs. You know, they probably have a lot to do. This takes almost no time at all.
No time, because copy and paste, right. Literally.
You don't, copy and paste. Yeah. And it seems like a pretty valid way to spend your week if you got that email.
If you got the email. Yeah. Yes.
Smart.
It's smart.
We did a little digging and we've realized that Elon actually had responded to his own email. Which
really?
Is also smart because you don't want to send out an email to hundreds of thousands of people or whatever, then not respond to it yourself as like a government worker
and then
end up fired.
So you got your hands on this? I didn't even know this. This isn't even in like our outline here. Wow.
I got my hands on it. And I'll just read it. And just because, of course, like I'm going to try and read it as Elon.
Oh, of course.
Just otherwise you'd be like, who is this again?
Right. It looks just like him.
Yeah, on stage at CPAC, right?
Yeah. I'm saying.
Okay,
yeah.
So you feel like you're sitting next to Elon Musk, right? So we got a hold of this, and you're gonna want to hear it.
Okay, good. Can't wait.
I took the liberty of dividing it into days of the week, since that is also equals five. I tend just to think just like a little bit different,
okay.
You know.
Well, that would sound good. Yeah. That's
so
good,
I separated it into five days. That's five bullet points.
Okay.
Monday. It was President's Day today. That's me. I tell the president what to do, which makes me the real president. So I guess for this bullet point is that on Monday, I was president.
Got it. Copy.
I'm just reading.
You're just reading. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Tuesday. Got into the ketamine bowl pretty early today. Or was it late? It's hard to tell from the bottom of a K-hole. Anyway, I smoked ketamine. Did I say that already? Who cares? I'm so rich. Oh, also, I fired some EMTs from the national parks and avoided my 13th child. Also, Google says I only have 7 kids. I wonder why. And separately as DeVrom, I did Google. That's what Google
said. Can you take the sunglasses off? Because I just see Elon.
Separately as DeVrom, I Googled it. I'm not sure why it says 7. I think it's 13.
Okay.
Anyway. Wednesday. Not sure if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. Ketamine's still in full effect. Also thought of starting a cool gaming bar just for me and other non-poor people called Oligarcade.
Nice.
The day wasn't all good. I started getting self-conscious about bringing the sink into Twitter and tweeting, let that sink in. Mm. What the fuck is wrong with me? Am I lame? Was that a little weird?
Okay, so that's Thursday? That was Wednesday. Oh my God.
Thursday, CPAC was lit. I'm starting to think I'm literally invincible. I ran around the stage with a chainsaw and made a shrieking noise and people loved it. Honestly, starting to wonder if every day is just some kind of simulation that I've had created to serve my desire to be liked, no matter how much and how uncomfortable I make people.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think he had misspelled a couple
yeah,
things. I think
yeah.
he misspelled a couple
okay,
things.
Okay, yeah, let's confuse again.
Friday, ketamine come down. Not good. Sent and received emails. Dry skin for lunch.
Dry skin for lunch?
I don't know.
Take it off. Wow, thank you, Elon Musk, for joining us. I mean, I know, DeVrom, I know it was you there.
Yeah, I just didn't want it to be confusing while I was reading his words.
But there were moments when you were doing the Elon Musk voice. Yeah. And then you lost it a couple times.
I could probably give it a little more practice.
No, but it sounded good overall.
If we ever get a hold of any more of his texts.
Oh, wow. That would,
I will read them as in maybe a better Elon voice.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. And I'm not going to ask how you did it. I'm not going to tell you to reveal your sources, but thank you for doing the hard work.
Hacker friends. It's a whole network of.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. That was a lot of fun. Do you want to move to something incredibly sad and terrible?
Please.
Yes.
Please.
All right. So also at CPAC, I had a conversation with a gentleman who was wearing a costume.
Oh, this sounds fun.
It does sound fun, doesn't it? Mm. But it's not. Watch this video here.
Do you actually work for ICE?
No, not at all. Nope.
Explain the outfit.
It's $29.99 on Amazon. I would recommend buying a small if you're my size. This one's a little too loose for my liking. But if you want some entertainment, wear this and go to a Home Depot in a sanctuary city like where I live right now, Washington, D.C., and you'll see all the illegals. Not all of them, but you can maybe see a lot of them start to run away. And you feel like a group fitness instructor. It's really good.
And you actually think that's funny?
I think it's hilarious. Absolutely. What's not funny is them illegally...
There you have it, everybody. One of the worst people I've seen here at CPAC, and that's saying something.
Appreciate it.
Do you still feel that way? You still feel like he was one of the worst people at CPAC?
Yes,
yeah.
I do. And I just want to just put all the cards out on the table here about the reaction to this video. It was like an inkblot test with the people on the right and the left. Like, people on the left were like, oh my God, this is similar reaction to what I had. Like, this is absolutely terrible. Like, going and trying to scare undocumented people who are just presumably trying to do a day's work there. And there's also been other videos of people impersonating ICE officers who are pulling people over. One guy in South Carolina was arrested for kidnapping when he was saying he was an ICE officer. But then there was a reaction to people on the right who was like, that guy is the funniest fucking guy in the world. What a hilarious prank. And because of the video, people watched that on the right and they were like, we should all buy this ICE jacket on Amazon. And it went to the top of the bestsellers list for the item, the costume category or something, which was so fucking depressing.
Yeah.
So depressing. It was just depressing on a million different levels.
Right. I mean, how the obvious level that you touched on already, but how divorced do you have to be from your humanity to think that it's hilarious to scare people away, to make people frightened who are there to try and find a day's work, who probably want to send money to their families, who are just existing? How much of a non-human do you have to be to not realize that those are people?
Right.
Pretty fucked up. Also, there's been a full circle moment here. January 6th, which he was a January 6th.
Yeah,
he
just kind of buried the lead
that.
There. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
He had been in jail. So now a month and change after being pardoned, he's so emboldened, he is now posing as a federal agent. He was taken into custody by federal agents then, and now he's posing as a federal agent. So these things have consequences, I guess. Also, just kind of a real loser, right? just walking around CPAC hoping to talk to someone.
He was trolling, and the whole thing is getting a reaction. And you say something terrible, you get somebody to react to it. They're like, you've gotten the reaction, and that's the win in that situation. From his mind, I think from other people's minds, we made people on the left upset. That's a win. That's a win. And that's how they're looking at it. But it's also just after this budget's been passed, where it's there's going to be cuts to Medicaid. Billionaires are going to keep these crazy tax cuts. And it's not going to do anything to balance the budget or anything like that. It's just what are you actually doing to own the libs here? What are you actually you just
saying
terrible
things? Are you
saying
it's kind of a throw things at the wall and try and get a reaction and there's no outcome? I mean, why are people doing the Nazi salute?
Well, that was
going
to be the night. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that now something that is a legitimate way to get attention that people do not run away from? That are they're fine with.
And like, wow. And I think you talked to somebody at CPAC about this. It was like, yeah, I think it's hilarious, the people's reaction to it. And now you can just kind of do it to get under people's skin. It's like, is that the thing? Or is it is just the getting under people's skin thing? Because like, I guess there's a lot of awful stuff.
Yeah,
you could
walk down the street and push strangers and you'd be getting under their skin. Right, like, what's the actual goal of it? If your goal is just to like upset people, you're going to be able to do that in life, if you're just being a shitty person. But the other thing is that they keep saying it's so unfair that we, people liken this party to the party of Nazis and this invoking World War II and these kinds of things as Donald Trump tries to, consolidate more and more power. That comparison has been brought up and people are like, that is so unfair.
Yeah.
It's like, also, we would like to do the Nazi salute on a semi-regular basis, but we would like to not be compared to Nazis ever or even thought of in that way.
I was thinking about this. I was trying to find a historical parallel to this, like a guy who like committed violence on behalf of a leader who was like losing his grasp on power and then was pardoned by the leader and then feels emboldened to like go and harass people who are different than them.
You're trying to think. I'm trying to think of it. You're racking your brain.
And I looked up.
You're racking your brain here.
I looked it up online. I was trying to be like, well, maybe there's other people who wore red hats, and that's what it is. That was like they were called like the red hats in a different time in history.
It could be. Yeah, history tends to repeat itself. Yeah.
And I couldn't. I didn't see anything.
What'd you come up with, bud?
Well, then I was like, maybe it's red shirts or something.
Oh, could be.
And
red
I was
shirts.
Like, oh, maybe it's red shirts. And then I was like, maybe it's brown shirts.
Right.
Brown shirts. Maybe this is very similar to like brown shirts.
Wait. Are you likening what was going on at CPAC and generally on the right to brown shirts?
What is brown shirts?
Oh.
I was just thinking of different colors.
Is that a World War II thing?
Come
to think of it, they are doing the Nazi salute. So maybe that's what they're trying to remind you of.
You know what? I'm going to do some research on this. I'm more of a math guy than a history guy.
Not a numbers guy, keep in mind.
I'm not a numbers guy.
A math guy.
So that was our experience and just like a fucking whirlwind of like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess I said it in my thoughts in the video.
Well, one other thing we did bring up was like, so this guy's spending his days at Home Depot.
It's like, what are you doing with it? It's just going to put dress up.
It's buying a costume on Amazon and then spending presumably your days. That's when people are there looking for work.
Right.
Your days walking around Home Depot as a goof in your mind. Get a job or do something, right? Do anything else productive. It seems like a very lazy way to spend a day.
Yes. Well, maybe you're having a hard time getting a job because of all the stuff on January 6th, but maybe not. So that was one experience at CPAC. We also we talked to some other people who maybe they were a little more, but they weren't as bad. We said that's the worst person that we saw. So, but we were asking people because at CPAC there was a stand. There was like the third term project, and it was people saying they want Trump to run for a third term,
right,
as president. So we asked some people about it, and here are a couple of the reactions.
Would you like to see Donald Trump run for a third term?
Of course.
Would you like to see Donald Trump run for a third term?
That's unconstitutional.
No, well, it hasn't stopped him before with some stuff.
Well, not really.
Would you like to see Donald Trump run a third time?
Certainly, I think constitutionally he can do that if he chooses.
He can run for a third term?
As far as I know, if it's non-contiguous terms, it's sort of one of those nether worlds.
And so you would vote for Donald Trump in a third term?
Yeah, I think I would.
And what do you think about the Constitution?
I'm a constitutionalist.
What about the 22nd Amendment that would prohibit him from running for a third term?
Yeah, it would bother me, but...
But you would still get your vote.
You would still get my vote.
Pretty telling. I think a lot of people like really want to run for a third term. Some of the people are like, I've heard you're not supposed to do that. But most of the people say, yeah, I would, and I really want him to, and I will vote for him.
I'm more nervous about those netherworlds. like getting going into those. And it's not, that sounds spooky.
Well, it's spooky. It actually, you don't know what you go down there. You don't know what you're going to come back with.
That's true.
You know, it's like Stranger Things when you go into the upside down,
right?
And you come back, you might have a little black like growths on you and stuff that could start to.
You kind of see that on Trump's hand now.
Yeah,
is that maybe that's
they start to creep up on you in your daily life. You sneeze, one of them comes out of your nose.
Yeah.
So it's just the idea of like flirting with the netherworlds there.
Yeah, the dark, not the a dark good magic,
idea,
guys. The dark
not a
crafts.
Good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you think, DeVram? Just like, what do you think about the third term? Idea.
What do I think about the third term idea?
The third term idea. Are you a supporter of the third term project? Which is like all about Caesar too, which I thought was a crazy thing. They're like, Caesar was a great leader. It's like, have you how did that end for everybody?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So given that how that ended, sure. We'll just let it run its course. It'll be a while, but
that's DeVram's take, everybody. That's DeVram's little editorial section of the podcast that I have nothing to do with.
Oh, that's not true. We talked about it before.
Not true. This is still part of the editorial and I guess, make-believe part.
I guess no more jokes, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's be serious.
I would not be surprised at all if this actually like gains traction. Nothing seems to be off the table. There's no norm that has been upheld in the first few weeks of office. So who's gonna say no?
Right.
Congress doesn't do anything. Doesn't say no to anything.
They asked about that at an Amen. They said, and they were because a Republican had put out that Trump should be able to run for a third term, but they didn't say any. They said only him, because I think the worry was like Obama might be like
right
do it then. That I wouldn't. I mean, I can't believe we're just. Everything's backwards.
Everything's
literally going backwards. It's just crazy.
Progress is being drowned.
I feel like I'm in the netherworld right now, DeVram. I just have to be honest. I feel like I'm like, I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. And I kind of need a moment of truth. I need some truth in my life.
Same. What a journey. I really could use it.
I hope you wrote one.
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, I sent that in a text last night to you. So you meant write a moment of truth? All right, so, I got it. I'll wing it. So this is a winging moment of the truth. So the truth is, you're seeing something on your phone, you're seeing news, and your emotional reaction to it is the complete opposite to a large percentage of this country right now. And the truth for us is, over the last week, we put something out where we were like, well, we think there's a pretty obvious right and wrong here. And a lot of people thought the opposite. They thought something that we thought was terrible was super funny. And they thought it was so funny that they all decided they were going to buy ice jackets and go impersonate federal agents. But I guess when you pardon a bunch of people for their violent actions during the interruption of the certification of a presidential election, causing a riot, you kind of feel emboldened. You kind of feel like you could put on a red hat or a red shirt or a brown shirt and do whatever the hell you want. And unfortunately, that's the truth. Mm. Winged it. What'd you think?
Wow. Winged and you wung it.
Wung it. Might have lost the train of thought.
I think
there
there's a lot of, there's so much truth to that. And bizarrely and fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we're all in it together, right? We're stuck.
So you've been feeling a little kumbaya a little earlier.
Trying to,
but I just want to know, like, I want to get like on the scale of 1 to 10. At inauguration, I think it was inauguration, maybe it was the next week, we're all in this together. You said that it was a little bit of kumbaya. Didn't really know what this was before we even knew about the January 6th pardons, Elon salute, all that stuff. That let's just say that was a 10 of kumbaya.
A 10.
Where are you now in the kumbaya scale?
2. It's just fallen off a cliff. We're not. People are buying ice jackets to intimidate people they've never met before, just to create sadness and despair.
All right, kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Before we get out of here, DeVram, I want to remind everybody you could support us.
We're doing 2 verses. All right, whatever.
Oh, Lord, Lord, kumbaya. All right. Before we wrap this up, we want to remind you, you can support us on HeroHero, herohero.co/thegoodliars. We have a whole nother episode.
Entire nother coming right up.
Green cards, the gold cards, the gold belts, Hulkamania, brother, all of it. But before we go, Devram, do you have any words of wisdom for the audience?
And
I do. Say it right into the
fucking
camera.
Yeah, I do have some words of wisdom. If you're going to drink any canned soda, anything that's in a can, drop it first before you open it. Have a little bit of curiosity in your life. You don't know what might happen. And that, my friends, is some good advice.
Sounds like you're doing the bad advice right now.
No. I'm saying embrace a little bit of chaos in your life.
Embrace the chaos.
You can only control so much. So drop that can of soda. Crack it open, drink it, and if it gets all over you, just know that it was meant to.
Okay. Sounds like you've been to the netherworld. Some black slime has
gotten
in your
into
brain.
My brain.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for the Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time. Bye.